Well, thankful to be here this morning. Appreciate you all having us again. So thankful that I'm able to come. Very easily, it could have been a situation where we would not have been here. And so, appreciate the Lord's protection and His care. Appreciate your all's prayers. I know you're looking forward to Brother Bob being back. I look forward to seeing him again myself. Unfortunately for me, every time I'm here, he's gone. I'll have to do better and come when he's here. I'm so thankful to be saved. I thank God for the salvation of my soul. My life has not been the same since. It's hard to explain the blessing of God on your soul and on your life when you give your heart wholly and completely into His hands and follow His path and His way. He leads us. The young sister quoted some scripture for us today, and I'm just going to go ahead and read a couple of those verses. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. That's what the Lord has done for me. I'm so thankful for that. He lifted me up and took me out of that miry clay that I was stuck in and washed me off and gave me something new to wear. And so thankful for the salvation of my soul. I have some thoughts today. I pray that the Lord would help me to give it to you all. I appreciate your prayers this morning. It's good to serve the Lord. Do the principles in God's Word teach us that we'll never experience hardships or struggles or difficulties in our lives because we've surrendered our hearts to the Lord and given Him all that we have? Does the Scriptures promise us that nothing difficult or hard or trying will touch our lives? Is that the promise that we get through God's Word? It's no doubt that the Lord blesses us and protects us. I mean, I had the protection last week of the Spirit of God blessing us not to run off the road. That's God's protection. But just as easily, we could have been off the road. And the Lord could have used that as well. The Lord doesn't promise us that He's going to keep us from all hardship or struggle. That He's going to prevent everything bad from touching our lives. When we give our hearts to the Lord and we give Him our lives and we surrender to Him wholeheartedly and follow the path that He sets out for us, it does not guarantee that we won't have trouble. It does not guarantee that we won't have difficulties touch us. It doesn't guarantee that we won't have times where we need money and don't have it. Or we're sick and are feeling the affliction of that sickness. Lost loved ones, tragedies. It doesn't mean that those things won't touch our lives. But there is something that in Christ, that there's a benefit. And that is that no matter what we might face in our lives, no matter what struggles or trials we may have to deal with in our lives, we have something that the world does not have. And that is a God to be with us in those things. I would hate to have to deal with the things that I face in my life without the Lord with me. Let's look at a few scriptures. First, I'd like to turn to Job, the first chapter. Perhaps we're familiar with this story, but we'll read a few verses here. In the first chapter of Job, we're going to read verses 8 to 12. And God And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? That is a good testimony. I always enjoy hearing that testimony. The Lord Himself spoke and testified unto Job, and unto his righteousness, and unto how he feared the Lord and shunned evil and did what was right in the sight of the Lord. And this was Satan's response. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made a hedge about him? And about his house, and about all that he hath on every side, thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. Satan again testifies to what God does for us. He had a hedge about him. He said, you protect him. You bless him. You know, his crops or his cattle, they prosper. You know, you prosper everything that comes to his hand. Of course he's going to bless you. Of course he's going to fear you and do whatever it is that you ask him to do. You're blessing him exceedingly. Verse 11. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. So that is the accusation that Satan gives, that if the Lord were to allow circumstances or situations to come in Job's life, there were hardships or trials or difficulties, he says, you know what, allow something like that to happen in Job's life and let's see what happens. And let's see if he still praises you and glorifies you and lifts you up and honors you with his life and then testifies unto your goodness. Touch his life. And let something bad happen to him, and let's see. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And if we were to read on, we would find that Satan did touch all of Job's possessions. One after another, they were stolen. One after another, his servants were killed. Circumstances took place where he lost his children. We can go on further and find that Satan touched his physical body as well, where he was afflicted in his body. And we could read further and find that Job failed not to give glory and honor to God, but continued to hold his steadfastness in his faith. Job's life is an example that trouble can touch us. And that it's not a result of our sin, it's not a result of our rebellion unto God necessarily. But sometimes it's just circumstance that the Lord uses to help us to grow, to help us to build our relationship with Him, to help us to have faith in God, even when trouble hits us. We can also read that the Lord did not forsake Job. And after he was afflicted and troubled, that the Lord healed him and delivered him from all his trouble and restored unto him all that he had lost, more than what he had lost. And so the Word of God shows that the Lord was with him all the way through, no matter what touched him. I think about this scripture and what else in the scriptures tells us that we're not just going to have an easy road ahead of us necessarily, but we may have to face struggles. We may have to face difficult times. I think of the apostles in Acts chapter 5. They were going about doing what the Lord had asked them to do. They were preaching the gospel. They were testifying unto Jesus, the Savior of the world, lifting up the name of Jesus. And they were persecuted because of it. They were imprisoned. They were beaten. They were afflicted. Verse 40, it says, "And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ." I think sometimes we can look at struggles that take place in our lives. I'll use myself as an example. Recently, I was very sick. Sicker than I've been for quite some time. The person that is sick doesn't really always know how sick they are. You know, it's the person that's taking care of them that maybe sees how bad it really is. But, you know, sometimes when I get sick like that, I start praying and ask the Lord, you know what, Lord, what's going on? You know, what are you trying to teach me? What are you trying to show me? What have I done? Is there something that I need to address with you, Lord? And I think it's common for us to think that way. It's common for us to think that if something bad happens or something negative touches our lives, that maybe the Lord's punishing me. You know, maybe the Lord is allowing this to punish me. And I think that if we were to read the scriptures, Job, was God punishing Job? Was he causing Job to suffer the affliction that he did to punish him? To reprimand him or discipline him? The scripture does not say that. The Lord said that he was a righteous and upright man that eschewed evil. But yet those things touched his life. And so sometimes we can think that when somebody is going through difficult times, that maybe the Lord's afflicting them and trying to teach them something or trying to draw something out of them. But maybe the Lord is just teaching us. You know, I will say that sometimes the most earnest prayers I've had were in my lowest times, most difficult situations, where I was able to just pour out my heart unto God because of the situation that I was in. I really do believe that we gain spiritual strength from those situations in life as well. If everything went perfectly well every day of our life, I think it would affect our desire to really draw near unto the Lord. If we never had anything of a concern or any petition to bring before God, what would we do? And I think of the children of Israel, how many times the Lord blessed them exceedingly, and it seemed that in the biggest blessings of their existence in the history of the nation of Israel, when they were the most blessed is when they really drew away from God. But when you look in the moments where they were afflicted, where their enemies were pressing in upon them, and they were in distress, it says that they were calling out unto God. They were reaching forth to get a hold of God in those situations. And so I really believe that the Lord sometimes uses those things to increase our relationship with Him. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Verses 23 to 27. This is Paul who's given an explanation of his ministry to the Corinthians and testifying unto himself in a sense, because he felt like he had to defend himself to them. And defend his ministry. And this is what he said. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. In other words, he's saying that if I was being serious, this is not how I ought to speak. But I'm going to do it for the sake of illustration. He says, are they ministers of Christ? I am more. In labors, more abundant. In stripes, above measure. In prisons, more frequent. In deaths, often. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, and once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. You know, you think of this, what he is demonstrating as a resume really unto his ministry, in saying that these are a testimony unto what God is doing in his life and the power of his ministry and why they should be willing to receive him as an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ because of what he has gone through for the sake of the gospel. He suffered many things, dealt with many trials among false brethren, people who put false accusations against him. In perils of the sea, he was beaten many times with stripes, with rods. And I can imagine that Paul could get in his mind like, why am I going through all these things? Why would the Lord allow all these things to touch my life? And I think that we can get in that way ourselves to think, Lord, why? Why are you letting this happen? Why would you allow this? And we think that the Lord should protect us from everything. And believe me, the Lord protects us from many things. There is a hedge about you. When you give your life to the Lord and you surrender your life to God and you walk in accordance to His will and according to the path that He has set before you, there is a protection there. There is an overshadowing. There is a a covert, or David describes it as a strong tower, a wall of salvation, a protection there for us. There is that. But it doesn't mean that God is not going to allow things to touch our lives. And I think that sometimes a person can get discouraged and think, Lord, why is this happening to me? But I believe the Lord wants us to know that just because things are happening to you, just because things are not necessarily going perfect for you, it does not mean that you've been abandoned. It does not mean that God's mad at you or that He's displeased with your life. It could just possibly mean the Lord is wanting to draw you even nearer unto Himself, and that He wants you to pour yourself out to Him. He wants you to cry out unto Him and allow Him to get deeper and deeper into your heart, into your life, so that He can bless you even more exceedingly than what you have been blessed unto this point. Sometimes we believe that the Lord should protect us from every ill thing, but that's not necessarily in the plan of the Lord's salvation. Back to Psalms 23. I didn't read the next verse, but the next verse says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I was thinking about this valley of the shadow of death, and you can wonder sometimes what that means. Is it the looming shadow or cloud of death that overshadows everyone in this life. There's not a person in this world that's going to escape death. Every one of us must die at one point or another. Is it the shadow of death, of corruption and evil that's all around, that sometimes touches us because there's nothing that we can do about it? You know, our government makes decisions and does implements policies that sometimes touch our lives. And is that a form of the shadow of death that we walk through? But a comforting thing is to know that even though we walk through that shadow of death, even though we walk in the midst of corruption and evil, where a person can come up to us and rob us and beat us and do all manner of evil against us, we may be walking through that valley. But the security that we have, the comfort that we have, is in this. It says, "For thou art with me. I'll not fear, because the Lord is with me." No matter what we might have to face in life, we have a comfort of God's presence with us through it. And that's something that those who have not the salvation of their soul don't have, that protection. They don't have that comforter. They don't have that one to be with them through the midst of those troublous times. Mark chapter 4. Verses 36. "And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full, and he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" In the past, I've read this passage of Scripture in a time where there was turmoil in my life. Difficulties all around. Distresses pressing in on me. And it was a comfort to know that the Lord can, in just one or two words, or three words, bring a complete calm to the situation. A complete calm to my heart, a complete calm to those elements that are pressing in. All he has to say is, "Peace, be still." And it is a complete calm. I think of the disciples in this situation, and that they were afraid. They were fearing that they were going to perish in the midst of this sea because of the waves that were filling their boat. But you know what? Jesus was with them. And he asked them, "Why were you afraid?" And I think the reason why they ought not to be afraid was because the Lord was with them. When we face hardships and trials, we need not be afraid when the Lord is with us. Daniel chapter 3. It's a very... very popular passage of Scripture. If you have not read it, I would suggest that you do. It's a very encouraging passage, chapter 3. These young men were faced with a hardship. They were faced with a trial in life. In verse 15, they were, "Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" And so here they are, they're presented with the ultimatum: worship my gods, or you'll be cast into a furnace of fire. You know, I think in our day and time, we can look at this scripture and sometimes have a difficult way of seeing it being applicable to us. Because many of us have not had to face this. Many of us have not had to make this type of decision. I think that in some other countries, they do face this decision. Sometimes, maybe frequently, where to choose to serve God, to choose to be a Christian, can very well be a threat to their life. There may come a day when we have to do that. We're choosing to follow after the Lord, to choosing to serve God in the way that He has directed us to, could cause this type of decision to be made. Verse 16, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and He will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." I love that. I love the conviction that they put forth. I love the fact that they stand on the Word of God, that they stand in their relationship with the Lord, and they tell Him, you know, we're not careful to answer in this matter. We will serve God and will not bow down to your gods. The Lord can deliver us, and He will deliver us out of your hand. Verse 24. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste. This was after they went ahead and threw him in the furnace. And rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, True, O king. He answered and said, Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. We may have to face struggle and trial. We may have to face the decision of the authorities to be on whether to follow God or not. And they may bring about persecution to our lives as a result of our decision that we make. But here they're in the midst of the burning fiery furnace, and who is there with them? It says, one like unto the Son of God. The Lord did not leave them alone. The Lord did not abandon them. He did not forsake them. They were thrown in the furnace. But the Lord was with them. The Lord's presence was with them. The Lord's protection was with them. So much so that the flames and not even the smell of smoke was on them after they came out of the furnace. The Lord delivered them out of that. And they came forth, and the king Nebuchadnezzar gave glory and honor to God as a result of this circumstance and as a result of this situation. But what I'd like to emphasize is that the Lord is with us, even in the midst of our deepest struggles, even in the midst of our most grievous persecutions. The Lord is with us. Like I said, sometimes it's difficult for us to imagine having to make these types of decisions, having to be in this type of circumstance. But I know what it's like. I know what it's like to have to make decisions like this and to have the consequences of those decisions be possible death and persecution. I know what that means. And I've had to make those decisions. And they're not easy to make by any means. But the Lord has shown Himself faithful to me over and over and over again. Does that mean that I did not face struggles and trials? And that from time to time those things touched my life? No, it doesn't mean that. But what it does mean is that God has been with me every step of the way. And He's protected me and He's kept me. And that's why I stand here today. Because of the protection of the Lord. Because of His overshadowing presence. I haven't been able to escape every hardship and trial in life. And I don't suspect that I'll be able to escape those that are ahead. But what I can depend upon and rely upon is that no matter what I might have to face in life, I know that the Lord would be with me. That He would be walking with me step by step. In the midst of the shadow of death, the Lord is there. In the midst of the fiery furnace, God is there. In the midst of the den of lions, where Daniel ended up being thrown as a result of praying unto God, even though they made a law saying, "Thou shalt not pray unto your God, only unto the king shall you give honor or pray." Daniel refused to obey that decree and ended up in the den of lions. But his testimony was that God has shut the mouths of the lions, that they have not harmed me. The king asked, "Has your God that you pray to continually, was He able to deliver you?" "Yes, O king, He has delivered me and has shut the mouths of the lions." I think of the story of Joseph, who spent many, many years in prison over a false accusation, over obedience unto the Lord. He ran and fled from temptation. But yet the circumstances of life still touched his life, and he was still in prison for, I believe it was 10 years. I think of John the Baptist, mighty man of God, preparing the way of the Lord, proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, who gave a declaration, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." And you ask yourself, what became of John the Baptist? He died in prison, was beheaded, because he spoke the truth. Will we be exempt from the things of life touching our lives? Will we be exempt where nothing difficult will ever come into our lives? John the Baptist was not. The apostles and disciples were not. Daniel was not. The Hebrew children were not. So many more. You can go on list after list of those who faced difficulties. The prophets were killed, murdered. Will we escape? No. But there is a protection, and the Lord does keep us and preserve us. The Lord does protect us, and there is a hedge about us, where the only things that touch us are those that God allows. And permits the devil to reach out and touch our lives. And we can be confident and secure in knowing that nothing touches us without the Lord giving approval to it. Romans chapter 8. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. No matter what may touch our lives, when we're walking and submitting to the Lord and we give our hearts and our love to God, no matter what may touch us in our lives, it's for our good and for our benefit and for the benefit of the souls around us. One more scripture in Isaiah chapter 43. Verse 1. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God. He doesn't promise that we won't have to walk through the fire. He doesn't promise that we won't have to walk through the floods. But what He does promise is that He will be with us. And when the Lord is with you, I think of the disciples in that boat. They were afraid that the waves and the water were going to cause them to sink. But because the Lord was with them, they were protected and they were kept. And the Lord will keep us as well. He will preserve us and He will keep us. He will deliver us, as the Hebrew young boy said, our God will deliver us from your hand. And God will deliver us as well. Doesn't mean that these things won't touch our lives. Doesn't mean that they won't affect us. But we will have the God of heaven walking with us every step of the way. And I thank the Lord for that. I appreciate His presence with me each day. And I thank God for His protection and care. And I pray that I will allow these things that touch my life to cause me to draw closer to Him, to cause me to pray more earnestly unto Him. I think of a situation in my life where there was an impending attack upon my physical health or my physical well-being, and I knew it. And I cried out to God, not because I was afraid to die necessarily. But I mean, nobody wants to be afflicted, right? But I cried out unto the Lord. I never prayed so hard. But you know, that circumstance and that situation in my life, I grew very much in maturity in my relationship with the Lord. He became so much more real to me in that time. And He did deliver me. And He did protect me. And He did keep me. But that pressure, that distress, I felt it. I felt the concern. Perhaps you might say fear. I felt it. It was real. And it drew me close to the Lord. In that circumstance, in that situation, albeit a bad situation, caused me to grow in my relationship with God. And He became so much more real to me in that. And I thank the Lord that no matter what touches us in our lives, we can call out to Him, bow down before Him, and allow Him to heal our circumstances and teach us to rely more heavily upon Him. I appreciate the presence of God in my life. I am thankful to be saved. I am thankful that God touched me and delivered me. And I pray that He will help me to serve Him and be as Job. No matter what might touch my life, no matter what difficulty I might face, that I would still give glory and honor to God and testify unto His goodness and how merciful He's been and tender mercies and grace to me for the forgiveness of my sins and the deliverance of my soul. I appreciate your all's time and attention this morning. Pray for me.